Valerie. Thank you for joining us. We have some very extraordinary, thought-provoking topics ahead that will be sure to capture your attention, along with scientific and spiritually based tools and techniques and how-to practices with the intent of helping you incorporate them into your everyday life, raise your vibration, and add to your own spiritual toolbox, thus bringing the reality you desire into your present. So you are joined this evening by me, Kat, and my co-host, CC Love, along with very special guest, James Carr, who is a conceptual artist who channels spirit onto the canvas, having his paintings in galleries and private home collections around the world. At the beginning of our show, we will do a Mother Mary sound healing transmission for our listeners, along with channel messages from DC Love. We'll highlight ways to anchor our Earth Star chakras, and James Carr will intrigue us with his genius related to quantum physics and the spirit of art. And then at the end of the show, I will do an oracle card reading for the collective, as well as share a couple personal with the bleep moments for entertainment. So just a quick background. My background is both conventional and spiritually based. I received a BS in business. I have a graduate degree in mental health. And having had spiritually based and 100th childhood, the journey continues. I am a natural born empath, clairvoyant, Reiki practitioner, incorporating many Eastern philosophies into my work for energy healing, coupled with profound visualizations. I'm also a certified meditation, mindfulness, shamanic, and holistic health and wellness coach. So, DC, you want to go ahead?
Yes, thank you, Kat. I'd like to say hi to you and to James. It's great to be here with the two of you. My journey, I have to say, was unconventional. One of the first memories I have was my mom was pregnant with me, and her nightgown had caught on fire, and my father ran over and ripped it off. And at that moment, my soul was standing next to my mom, and I had the option to stay, you know, into this lifetime or to go, and I stayed. And from that moment on, I mean, I just, the inner knowing from past lifetimes, you know, came with me. And in regard to this part of the journey, in 2013, I was guided, first of all, to join social media, which I had absolutely no interest in, and I was also guided to connect with Blog Talk Radio via my mother-in-law, who was on the other side, after she must have been listening to me, and I would feel like there was something missing in my life. So what I did is I watched the Long Island Medium with my niece, Kelly, and there was a marathon, and she and I laughed so hard, and I said, oh, my gosh, Kelly, I would love to do that. So that actually, I think, put the ball into motion, and that's how everything started. But little did I know at the time how life-changing all of this would be. And I feel like, you know, this was truly heaven-sent for me that I was able to, you know, connect and be on this journey. I started to share messages with people around me that were sick at the time. They were from Jesus. But I also connected with a gentleman in India via social media, and this young man, for some reason, did not believe that he was worthy of God's love, and I prayed and I asked that my words be divinely guided to help him, and I went back and forth with this gentleman for about a half hour, and then he finally, you know, realized that he was, in fact, worthy of God's love, and he said, ma'am, I believe in your God. So this was the start of amazing experiences and the beginning of many more to come, and that's a little bit about me.
I know you, and that is a little bit. There is so much, and that's a beautiful, beautiful entrance into your bio.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's just I've had a crazy journey, and, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, you know?
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild ride, to say the least. It's wonderful. James, you want to go ahead and give us your bio?
Yes, and thank you very much, Kat and DC. I really appreciate having this opportunity to discuss the way that I see the spiritual forces that come into work within the arts. I am a visual artist who's determined that my talents, to a good extent, are guided by the hand of certain divine forces, supernatural forces, but primarily they are divine forces. And I think in many cases, many artists would say the same. I've talked to many artists and know many, but I'm one that never starts out with a painting that I anticipate is going to look a certain way. I don't do a preliminary drawing. I don't do any sketching. I just start a painting. And so I've determined to some extent that there's something else going on, and I know that there is. So I've recognized that the spirit and energy that people often feel when they look at my paintings is something that is imbued within them as I am working on them. And I believe that this inspiration is a gift from the divine, and I believe is guided by angelic spirits. In addition, I am a practitioner of Reiki. I attended the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, which is a fabulous art school in Philadelphia, nearby where I live here. And I'm just so grateful that I had the opportunity to go there. And my career has been in the field of marketing, and I have a PR firm that has won many awards for our creative projects. I am now a conceptual figurative artist who uses oil painting to capture the essence of the model or the subject. Fortunately, this has been appreciated by many, many people. So that's kind of a short term. That's where I am.
That's wonderful. And I've seen your work.
It is wonderful.
Amazing. Yeah, you truly have a gift.
We all have gifts, and, you know, we just have to be ourselves and follow our own intuition and let the divine just guide us where, you know, we would do the best work we can and help others.
Yeah.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, I just,
and I, it's like not worth
like
it.
Kat and I, we're alike in some ways, like we come together. But then, you know, when we disconnect, we go our separate ways and we do something a little bit different.
Right.
And
yeah, exactly.
We all need it. Need it, yes. Really,
yeah.
Amazing.
I think we're all karmically connected, too. You know,
yes.
Cosmically,
with that,
yeah. Absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, I just want to let our listeners know, I think they know the name of our show, Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. But we also have another show coming up on Wednesday, and that one is called Angel Answers. And it's a really beautiful show to, you know, to get angel messages and divine guidance. And we also have a show on Sunday that's entitled Enter the Light. And there's a beautiful group of hosts that gather together and give some really amazing readings. Now, we do have a show called The Lighthouse, but The Lighthouse is not on regularly. It is on intermittently. So they do post when they are coming on. So we have some beautiful, beautiful people in this amazing network. I think we're so blessed.
We are.
It's
blessed.
Really amazing.
It's great.
Yeah.
We have great people.
Okay, so Kat, is there anything else before I start to do the sound healing and the Mother Mary Red Rose channeled healing that you'd like to say?
No, I want to thank listeners for listening in and, you know, enjoy the show.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, that's just amazing. Now, the energy has been a little, like, wonky here, so my phone screens disappear, my computer screen disappears, everything's bouncing around, so we're going to try to do this. I'm going to try to connect with Mother Mary and bring, you know, this beautiful, beautiful sound healing. Okay, come back when you're ready.
That was very, very powerful.
It was. I felt it as well.
Yeah. So just to let them know, like, I'm going to let listeners know, DC played that for me before we started the show, and it was a beautiful experience that I had. But when you just played it, I saw it was us, and you know, we went up, but I saw the world just vibrating purple coming off of it, and the planets were all lined up, the universe, like all these planetary, you know, stars, and the whole solar system was just, you know, in awe of this purple vibrating beautiful healing light. And it went through, not just in front of us, but throughout the inside of the world, you know, Mother Gaia, and went out the back, and it was beautiful. And it went over, like, you know, I saw political turmoil, and just it went over that, and it just covered it, you know. So that was
beautiful.
A beautiful thing for me, for I believe the world, truly.
Yeah,
and
we have to say, Kat, like, I wanted to connect with you before the show, you know, to give you a little bit more energy, a little boost of energy. And, you know, we've been connecting. And now as I read the channeled healing, after that you could tell everyone what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
At your place there, after the channeled healing, it was absolutely amazing.
That's
so we're going to go forward. And the Mother Mary channeled healing. Kat and I connected with her beautiful friend who at the time was in hospice care. And as we each slept, we astral traveled at 3 a.m. to heaven, and we came together and connected with Mother Mary. She walked with us on this magnificent beach where we saw frothy white waves and beautiful sand. And then Mother Mary walked into the water, and she kept walking in. And the three of us stood there in amazement because Mother Mary did not get wet. And I then began to channel this beautiful sacred red rose healing as we walked along the beach with Mother Mary. I realized that this, in fact, was the eternal beach of heaven, and it was the perfect atmosphere to release what no longer serves us. And my channeling was so synchronistic with Kat's beautiful channeled message to her friend, mentioning sacred gardens with beautiful flowers that nourish our hearts, minds, and our souls. And at that point, Mother Mary gave each of us a sacred red rose, which she placed within our hearts. So as I continue to read this channeling, each of you too will have an opportunity to have a sacred red rose placed within your heart by Mother Mary. And all you have to do is say yes quietly before I continue reading the channeling. Now, Mother Mary wants to explain that healing does not have to take a lot of time, and this channeling is a significant healing tool. It is very powerful, and it addresses all issues. It can be read for a family member to help them with their healing process or gifted to a friend. Mother Mary is now coming in. Beloveds, I have heard your prayers, and I know the suffering you have endured. I ask that you trust in my divine healing abilities. We are going to release and let go of all that no longer serves you, including cellular memory, emotional wounds inflicted upon you as a child, limitations, ancestral roots that need healing, and pain that has traveled through family lines, as well as forgiveness that is needed. You can sit or lie comfortably, close your eyes, and slowly breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Once more, breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Now envision a beautiful sacred rose filled with unconditional love being placed within your heart by Mother Mary. As you breathe, imagine your breath going directly into your heart. And as you continue to breathe, the sacred rose begins to bloom. As it does, it brings with it heavenly blessings. These blessings are filled with divine healing, trust, and courage, and will help you with whatever circumstances you are facing. You now take a moment and you place your intentions into your beautiful sacred rose. As you are doing this, you feel a beautiful warmth come upon your body as divine love and light fill every fiber of your being. This beautiful energy connects with every cell in your body, and it brings healing where it is needed. You feel Mother Mary holding you in her heavenly embrace as she continues to fill your entire being with this divine and loving energy, which also heals any situation you are concerned about. This amazing healing will continue to take place on all levels, physical, emotional, spiritual, and even on a soul's level until all healing is complete. You will feel Mother Mary's divine essence within your heart, knowing you have unlimited divine resources that are within your sacred rose, and they are available to you when needed. Mother Mary's divine healing has no limitations. It can go wherever love can go. Love heals all wounds, and it removes all obstacles. Beloveds, I love you, Mother Mary. My beloved children, I am standing with each of you right now, and some of you may have trouble understanding what you cannot see, but please have faith because I am with you right now, and I will remain by your side. Whatever you are needing, just ask. I will guide and protect each of you. Do not be afraid. I will encourage and support you as you go forward through life's challenges and the changes that are occurring. You must believe that the changes you are going through are for your highest good. Release the despair and the doubt that have caused such heaviness within your sacred hearts. It is also time to give birth to the dreams that you have thought would never be possible. Beloveds, keep going in the direction of your dreams. You will have all the spiritual support you are needing. This is a time of rebirth. Connect with the spiritual blessings that I have placed within your sacred rose, within your heart. Beloveds, you are on the cusp of a new life, and I love each of you, Mother Mary.
Gosh, that's beautiful. I actually felt warmer than I have in the past. That something's happening tonight because
I think that's
so beautiful and energy's so strong.
I mean, we're deepening the journey, and the energy, even that I had, like I said, where we have a synergy of energy now, and what's happening to me is now happening to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what happened just before, you know, after we did the sound healing, you know, you had a little incident in your home, which was absolutely amazing.
Yes. Yes, I did. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
it's the synchronicity.
I have to connect all the time. And, I mean, now it's, you know, now you're having this experience, and it's beautiful. I, in fact, was just out with a friend, you know, last week, and her son had passed. And we were at this little cafe, and it had high rafters with these big lights. And every time we spoke, this one light would just keep blinking and blinking and blinking, giving like this mom, you know, just signs that, hey, this is what you should do. She'd ask a question, and she'd be talking to me, and then I noticed the light, you know, above us, but over in the corner, would not stop blinking. I mean, you know, when you connect with energy like that, as you are too doing, I mean, it's just, it's so beautiful. It's just amazing.
It is. It is.
It's so amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? We can save the testimony. You can do it, like, later if you'd like. I have a special little gift for James.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I do have Saint Germain, but his gift wants to come first. Okay, so James, this is for you. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Hello, Jim. You certainly have attitude, motivation, and great passion. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Your art is a gift, and it brings joy to those you share it with. You view the world in a different way, seeing the connection between quantum physics and spirituality. The farther back you look, the farther forward you see. I saw further ahead, and so do you. Jim, you enjoy finding your own path and feel like the world is mystical and magical. You are a leader in your field of expertise, and you're filled with passion and positive energy. And I believe that man is an immortal spirit, and I know now that there is, in fact, an afterlife. I have the mental characteristics that were necessary to achieve success, and you yourself are a big believer in mind over matter, and you're very tuned in with your emotional and spiritual sides of life. You don't hesitate to make changes when the situations call for it, as well as being open to new and interesting things. And joy is one of the things you work hard to achieve, and you know how to access it, and you too have the mental characteristics necessary to achieve success. I was always ready to learn, but although I did not always like being taught, and I was an optimist, it didn't seem that there was much, you know, use trying to be anything else. You see every opportunity, even difficulties, as a time to enjoy yourself, to challenge yourself, and to have some fun. Throughout life, you've seen how everything is connected, and you take care of your own life and try to do it right, even if it's not always the easy thing to do. I never gave up, and either did you, Jim. Well, I guess that's enough for me for today. After the show is over, I'm going to have a martini with vermouth actually being added to my, without the vermouth, of course, being actually added to my drink. I'm just going to glance at the vermouth bottle briefly. Jim, I hope you'll join me after the show.
Certainly. Thank you.
So can we ask you who that might be?
What's that?
The channeling, who was it from?
Right.
It was from Sir Winston Churchill.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He came in this afternoon, and he said he wanted to connect with you.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So I said, okay, you know. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he's on
that's
the show tonight, so of course I'm going to do that. I said, of course, that's awesome.
Wow.
So I hope you've enjoyed your time for Winston Churchill, Jim. James.
I certainly will.
He calls you
James.
Yep. Oh, you're so well.
And
thank
James,
you so much.
Kind of there was
and by
DC.
The way, I wanted to mention that I really had strong visualization of in the Mother Mary. I mean, it was profoundly strong. So
beautiful.
And I saw it with the roses, and it was really, really gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kat and I feel the same way. It just got, like, so much stronger, you know, as we started it today, even, Kat, right? It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, even with the Winston Churchill, you know, if you look in my drawer here, there is a picture of Winston Churchill. And, you know, it's one of those motivational quotes that says, you know, success is not final, failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that matters. Winston Churchill,
yes.
That it counts. So I just thought that was very synchronistic of Winston Churchill.
It was.
Because
I was excited to tell you who I connected with, you were walking right next to that poster, right?
Yeah. I'm like,
so that was
right
really
now.
Right next to it. And I'm thinking, I don't ever connect with Winston Churchill, but today I did, and we were just laughing. So I always expect the unexpected, you know, it's crazy. But I didn't. You know, I didn't connect Saint Germain yet, right?
Right.
Okay. So, well, Winston Churchill. He's, you know, he was our guest too. So, of course, you know, Saint Germain said he would step back. So, we're going to say goodnight to Winston Churchill and thank him, of course. And James, after the show, he will connect with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay. I wanted to mention one thing, too. I always have a candle burning when I'm doing these shows. And right when you said mind over matter, the flame just went up. And it was,
wow.
And it's kind of
beautiful.
Because I've been in the marketing field, and one of the headlines I had on one of my ads that I produced was mind over matter. So it's always been some sort of a phrase that has resonated with me.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. Thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Saint Germain coming in now. Beloveds, I am a being of violet fire. I am the purity God desires. I, Saint Germain, come before you today. As many changes are happening in your world, I am joined by Mother Mary and Jesus, and we will guide you through all that has been occurring within and around you. What is happening to you may feel like a volcano erupting within your soul. The emotions that you have been suppressing must surface, they must be felt, and then acknowledge. This volcano that is erupting within is powerful and it must be released. As you continue forward, we will remain with you, along with the other ascended masters, angels, and your guides. You will gain strength through the challenges you are facing. And as you continue your journey upward on this mountain-like volcano, do not stop until you arrive at the very top. There you will see this explosive energy erupt. Continue to resonate with your beliefs and demonstrate your core values, and you will become confident in all you do. The hot lava will help you to release anger, anxieties, stress, and whatever else you are holding on to. And please remember, you are never given more than you can handle. Get ready, too, for explosions of miracles and manifestations that will help you create the life of your dreams. And please use the knowledge that you have gained on the spiritual journey to help yourself and then to be used to help all of humanity. Always focus on love. There is love within every soul. Share your love with all you meet. We are all one, and love is all there is. Are you ready to connect with your great I Am presence and the violet flame that will ignite your God spark? And it will transform you into a mighty flame. Please affirm quietly, I am ready. Your life will change in the most amazing ways from this point on. Sit comfortably with your eyes closed. And please place your feet on the ground or the floor and begin breathing slowly in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Once more in through the nose and then out through the mouth. You may now begin to feel Saint Germain and all of the divine beings who are gathering here with you today on this amazing spiritual journey. You may also see the violet flame that surrounds you at this time, as it permeates every fiber of your being. A healing has begun on all levels, and this sacred flame burns stronger, accelerating the healing process and removing all that has held you back on a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level. Continue now to breathe as all issues that you've had are being transformed, transmuted, and then healed. You can feel the warmth and the healing of the violet flame as this amazing spiritual energy addresses all that no longer serves you, whether it is known or unknown. All issues are resolved in this lifetime as well as previous lives. The area of your heart that is filled with heartache or pain or suffering is also now being purified and is being completely healed. Saint Germain now gives each of you a violet flame that will in fact continue to assist you on your earthly journey. It will help you to receive everything that is for your highest and your best, as it also raises your vibration. The beautiful violet flame contains a very high frequency, and it is a powerful energetic tool to assist you, and it will transmute negative energy into positive energy as it continues to resolve issues that occur on a daily basis. You will also be able to connect with higher energies, helping you to ascend and become open to other realms. Beloveds, continue to say the violet flame invocation daily. As you do, you will become aware of how you can work with the spiritual energy, and your intentions will help you to move forward. Beloveds, don't be afraid to call upon me and allow your energy to become a synergy of divine energy. Your violet flame is a powerful tool that you can carry with you, and it will help you with your earthly evolution as well as the evolution of humanity. You are now one with the violet flame. Don't forget, I am a being of violet fire. I am the purity God desires.
That is, I love that. That I could feel the heat as well, and I could see the violet, that purple flame around me.
Uh-huh. Beautiful.
As I breathed in, and then, you know, I let it out, but I could literally feel and visually see that violet flame just around me, and I could feel the heat of it too. And so I just feel
wow.
Very special. This channeling is very special to me because, you know, as well as the Mother Mary, you know, healing and the Mother Mary Sacred Rose. But this one too, because you can literally gift, he's gifting us this flame, right? So I could see it in my heart. Like I could see it just going in my heart as well. And, you know, gifting it out to like those I wanted to gift it to as well. So that was very powerful.
Yeah, I felt that it was. Yeah, I mean, it's just the energy is amazing. And I have to say that Kat and I, we connect, you know, and, you know, in our dream state, and it's just so amazing. And one of, you know, the things that I remember is we astral traveled, and it was wonderful because the two of us became mermaids. And then I sent Kat, like, pictures, you know, the best I could describe, you know, how we looked at the time. And then you started to receive, like, you were finding different clothing that basically looked like what I sent you.
Exactly. No, but I did dream the same thing, yes, that I was in the water as a mermaid. And as she's telling me
yeah.
this story, this dream, I'm like, oh, my God, right? And then I go up and
I actually
dreaming up those, and I saw.
It was
fun,
the dream.
What's that?
Yeah, it was more like a visitation that this was a past life that we had together because it was so powerful and it was so crisp and clean and I could see and you could see and we could sense and smell and it was just amazing. So at 7:39, can I just read what the message I got with that and then I'm going to step away. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay,
yes,
so here's
you.
The channel message after we connected at night, and we seem to connect and we're always around water, Kat.
Right.
Okay, right? You know? Okay,
yes.
So the waves of wisdom reveal powerful hidden forces. It is now time to merge within your two worlds of potential. Always be true to yourselves as you embrace the uncertainty of the ocean waves and welcome beautiful new beginnings. Each of you are now gifted a magnificent ocean pearl, which brings with it spiritual transformation, integrity, and wisdom, as well as prosperity, grace, and healing. Beloveds, you have the ability to connect and to heal with many life forms, as well as transforming into human form on land. You are creatures of magnificent transformation as well as hidden possibilities. Within you hold the power of the natural world. It is now time to break free of human constraints and connect with your magical powers, wish-granting, and shape-shifting between mermaids and humans. You can control nature. You can manipulate the elements and communicate with creatures of the sea. Your spirit guides rejoice in your renewal and the revitalization you bring to humanity. Let your love glitter, sparkle, and shine. And remember, when life is overwhelming, retreat to the ocean or sea and soothe your souls. And don't be afraid to dive deep for the treasures you are seeking. Never, ever give up, for it is then that the tides of life will turn. Beloveds, you are mermazing. Never forget this.
I love that.
That was a little channeled message, but I mean, it was a visitation because the colors were outstanding. You could feel the water. We were soaking wet coming out of, you know, the ocean. And, you know, when we got to land, we had feet, so we actually were able to walk once we hit the beach. It was amazing.
Wow. Can I add one thing, which was just, you know, it's still, I'm still kind of, you know, wondering where it came from. But once she gave me this channeling, I went upstairs, like I said, just I'm cleaning up things, and I found this beautiful outfit. I had never seen it before, and it looked just like what a mermaid would look like in terms of, you know, it was just green, had different colors in it. It was beautiful, but I have never seen that before. It wasn't mine. It just appeared. So,
yeah, I mean, it was amazing, and that's like not the first time that we've even had that experience, like where something just appears or something, you know, beyond natural happens. And as I'm talking to you, the icons that I have on my tablet are just like moving around on my tablet. They're just doing their own thing, which is kind of crazy, and, you know, in fact, as well. But whenever we get together, Kat, we really have some major, you know, experiences, you know?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here smiling, thinking about all of the things that, like this, that has happened.
Well, you know,
Before
I go, I want you to tell everybody about the picture that you sent me on the phone that your son drew.
Oh, so that picture was of Mighty Archangel Michael. One of my sons is an artist, and he drew this picture of Mighty Archangel Michael. But it was a more of a reflection of like him in this particular one, because he's drawn other ones. But this particular one literally looks similar to him in the sense where Mighty Archangel Michael has kind of like hair like him, and so when I looked at it, I'm like, gosh, that looks like a picture of my son who drew it, in a sense, right? Well, DC said, put it in, you know, a frame, right? And I did, and it literally kept moving. It moved out of the frame and kept moving. And then I put it back in the frame. And I'm like, how in the world is this thing moving? And so I put it back in the frame. I've done this a couple times now, and Mighty Archangel Michael just continues to just move out of the frame. So
he does. And the amazing part is when you sent me the picture, when I looked at it, I had an animated picture. Yeah. And I said, oh, my gosh, Kat, like you sent me a picture, but it's he's like walking around on the phone there, like he's moving all over. And he looked like a modern-day Archangel Michael that would sort of be, you know, dressed and looked like your son. It was amazing. Totally amazing.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to explain, but, you know, there's many times that things have been moved, right? Like the Mother Mary picture that you gave me started jumping around, and that was, you know, quite unique, right? Not in our world, but for, you know, it is
in a sense, you know, just thinking about it. But anything's possible and everything is possible. And we're being called to, you know, different things. And they want us to know that they're here. That's how
I
look at it.
And I sent you the card, Kat, because we were doing a Mother Mary healing, and I was holding the card that I had gotten at a healing mass with Mother Mary, and it was touched with the myrrh, the holy oil that, you know, helps people heal. And as I was connecting with Kat, the card was jumping out of my hand. So that, for me, was a sign that I have to send this to Kat, and that's what I did with that beautiful card.
Yeah.
Which is truly amazing.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing.
It's beautiful. There's many stories.
Well, you know what? I'm going to let you guys take over the show there, and I wish you both a wonderful evening, and it was wonderful connecting with each of you.
Thank you very much. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You.
God bless. Have a good night.
You too. Good night.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Carr.
Real quick, I was just going to say that I have a picture of someone on my, you know, that's on my refrigerator, and it was on the refrigerator, and then the next day I come out, and it's jumped over to the counter. I don't know.
Yeah, I know you've had your own set of experiences for sure.
But
so
something hasn't happened lately, but there's a lot of energy in the picture, so you know,
of course, yeah, especially being a visual artist. And but that's the spirit too, you know, some of your things, you know, when they say things move, I mean, that's a whole nother episode, but let's stick to this right now just because of time. Okay. So,
what did you say?
So let's start with this, what we have planned for this evening. I'm just going to talk initially about, it was a show on Gaia with the, it's called Series of Beyond Belief with George Norrie. And he hosts this series, and in this particular episode, he interviewed this woman named Bridget Nielsen, who is a spiritual retreat guide. There are many spiritual retreat guides, you know, all over the world. For her, she talked about in this interview things that were fascinating to me because it highlights our own like intuitive compass to follow our guidance that we're getting and to move into that direction, which is exactly what she did and what she found was extraordinary. So basically this is about being, you know, if you've ever kept hearing or feeling like you should be at a particular place and you don't really know why, but you keep having the same feeling, it's a calling to go there. And so, and in terms of intuition, you know, you just want to remember, like, if you, for instance, walk into a building, right, and you don't feel your intuition, your gut feeling is just telling you, like, I probably shouldn't be here, right, and then you leave. And if you walk into a building and you get, you know, an overwhelming sense of this is a beautiful place, and I feel good here, that's your gut feeling, intuition telling you, yes, this is it. And you can ask before you even step into a building, like even if you're there, right? Like just say, you know, is this, you know, a place that I'm meant to be? And you'll get an immediate yes if it's a yes. So, but anyway, but this Bridget Nielsen, again, spiritual retreat guide. She's also an intuitive healer, by the way. And she specializes in uniting, like, our metaphysical reality with modern, just everyday life. So, for instance, you and I, James, we kind of had that going on too, right? But for more than a decade, she has hosted retreats to sacred sites around the world. And that sounds very interesting to me. Okay, so anyway, she stated that her parents, because the question was asked, like, how did you get involved in, you know, this intuitive healing and these retreats? And she said that her parents were very deep into what is called spiritual circles. And then she did all kinds of, like, training. She had a mentor who was a shaman, a shamanic healer who had, you know, a very powerful impact on her. But my question was, listening to this interview, okay, so what exactly is a spiritual circle, right? And when I did some research, this is what I got. A spiritual circle is when a community of like-minded people sit in an environmentally friendly location, and they receive information, guidance, messages, physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. And this is cultivated through the continuum of divine spiritual practices, prayers for each other, the earth, humanity, and so on. And these practices, along with living within and harnessing, like, nature and using these natural resources provided for them, like, off the land, made a perfect, like, sacred space where that healing energy stays. Because, as we know, like, we can manipulate energy, but if you're in these spiritual circles, you know, that energy is powerful. And it's, again, if it's healing, that's some place that you want to go, right? Because you're going to harness that. And so, anyway, all right, so the question next was asked, how do you teach intuitive healing? Like, how do you start? And she just said that tapping into our own innate abilities, because we all have them, that we already have. And, for instance, if you feel more like an intuitive empath, or, you know, you have clairvoyance or their audience or whatever it is, you're a sensitive in terms of energy and just listening to your deeper intuition. And that's what I mean in terms of if you go someplace and, you know, or you're around someone and you just get this gut feeling, that's your intuition saying either stay or go, or, you know, that type of thing. So question was, what is an intuitive healer? And Bridget, who was being interviewed, answered this question by stating that an intuitive healer is someone who uses their senses beyond just their five senses, right? Which is seeing, hearing, feeling, touching, knowing, right? To really tap into the more that's going on with the person that she's working with on these retreats. Because remember, she's taking groups of people to these spiritual retreats. And she's, you know, there with the intent of them getting something from it that's very positive. So to know what is needed on a deeper level, an energetic level for healing and restoration is what, you know, she's aiming for here. And so he was asked also about starseeds. So starseeds are, you know, we have our generational family, right? We have our family here on Earth. We have our generational family, those of past. And then we have our starseed families. And each of them, you know, has lineage to us. So good, bad, and different, like, they're still in our genealogy. So we can either, I might be getting ahead of myself here, but, you know, I work with the genealogy, and so we can, like, for instance, if we heal ourselves, if we have something going on within ourselves and we heal that, then we're healing generations in the future, right, from experiencing the same thing, because our
genealogy is changing. Our DNA is changing. So that doesn't get transferred to the next person. So, you know, and so in for the pastor, the ones who have passed on, you know, they carry with them, you know, sometimes it's, you know, many times it's great in terms of, you know, they have wonderful things to pass on to us, right? Gifts, for instance, right? But sometimes they've gone through trauma, and that trauma, and this is scientific because it's been researched and written about in scientific journals, is that, you know, for instance, if you were in the Holocaust, right, your relatives are in the Holocaust, you don't even know them, right? But those things that they felt in the Holocaust, you know, anxiety, depression, lack because they didn't have food, you know, or just, you know, just being fearful, like that's in their DNA, right? So we want to, you know, clear that. And so the work that we do here on can actually help them as well as ourselves, right? All right, so let me go on here. So she said, all right, so this is back to the starseeds. Are we starseeds? She said, yes. And, you know, do we have a mission here? Yes. So there's a deep mission, and that is for all of us to be a service to Mother Earth and all of humanity, which requires deep inner work, which includes ancestral work and physical work here on Earth to raise our vibrations, to tap into that divine universal knowledge and bring that down here to be able to, you know, have that knowledge and to use that to know how to heal ourselves, heal others, and then be that vessel through which, you know, God works here on Earth, right? And there's many modalities to use, but this is just tapping into, with the Starseed family, tapping into that consciousness, because unless we're at a high vibration, they can only come down so far, right? So it's our responsibility to keep our vibration high so that we can gain that knowledge through meditation. I'm just going to say through meditation. I'm sure there's other ways, but that's how I use it. And then the question was asked, do you tap into energy in the cosmos? Yes. And how Bridget said that many times it's through her dream state, and that going to certain places that, again, that, you know, being called to activate these memories, as well as really being present in the moment and being still, here we go, in meditation to connect with these deeper and higher energies is imperative. And this is, again, like anything is really possible, right, if our vibration is high enough. Make sense?
Yeah.
You can come anytime. Just have fun.
No, everything you're saying is evidently correct. I mean, we're definitely carrying memories in our DNA. They activate us in ways that are not always positive for our spiritual development, and that's why we have to cleanse them and be kind of reignited with, you know, the pure DNA that would come from, you know, having those historical non-enhancing DNA to be purged from us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So she talks about, like, our ancient ancestors are important because they've cultivated. Now, this is the healing space here. They've cultivated a space for so long that there are so many treasures they pass along to us, like different spiritual gifts they can give. But just like you're talking about here too, however, you know, things in our ancestor lineage, may have caused pain and trauma, and those are things that we want to through here on Earth, so that we can heal not only ourselves, them, our future generations. So it's important for us to heal ourselves first, like I said, so that we can heal future generations as well as, you know, our past ancestors. But our past ancestors can also heal us. So that's really interesting too, right? And that's where this really came to light here with this interview, is that this woman was called to a certain place. And I'll get to it though. And it truly was a calling for healing. And I'll get to that in a minute. But here's the question: what is your heritage? And she said that while leading a retreat in Ireland, her name is Bridget, she stated she felt a strong connection to a certain place and was asked to investigate her genealogy. When she investigated it, found, because this is where she took her group, she didn't know anything, she just felt called to, like, this castle in Ireland. And that's where she took her group. All right, so when she got there, she found that she had ancestors that had lived and died in this castle like 500-600 years ago, again, where she was called to do the spiritual retreat, not knowing that this was her family lineage, right? So, you know, did that have a big impact on her life? Yes, it did, because she's been doing ancestral work for a while. And what was important for her, she said, was, and this is too, when people do, you know, generational ancestral healing, many times you hear, oh, you're healing seven generations back, right? But what she realized is that when we have a resonance to a certain ancestral stream, it doesn't matter how long it's been. These ancestors can feel through time and space their family, their kin, found their way to her. To communicate through, you know, this calling, through this genealogy, through the place, to say she was a part of their family. And so, you know, there's always a support system there for her that she can tap into when she's there, especially. And so in this way, it's not hard to see how we can access wisdom from our ancient ancestors to bring down to Earth, whether we're there or not. This is very exciting to me personally, since I do work with generational family lines, and but I do it all the way back to the beginning of time, because there's nothing that says to me you can only go back seven generations. Like, my work is always all the way back to the beginning of time, okay? And so through a guided meditation with a spiritual leader, I was able to release karma from myself and my ancestral family. And in that experience, group meditation, that he watches, like, he'll watch us and then he'll ask for feedback, right? He's very powerful. And so what I had, during that, I was able, again, to release karma from myself and my some of my ancestral family. And in this experience through the meditation, I saw myself as a little girl first, then one of my parents, and then I saw a tribe of, you know, Indians, and with drums, and they were circling me playing their drums. And that was very, 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 very vivid. And so
this was my tribal family, that it helped me release what I was intending to do, because that meditation is about releasing karma. So I was so thankful. And in the same meditation, since it was a group meditation, there was only one other woman who, I don't know, there must have been like 30 of us, but there was only one other woman who did share that she had seen the same thing in terms of, you know, a tribe and drums. And so it was very interesting to me. In fact, it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. Share it. Love to hear it.
Where I was down staying over at a place down in southern Delaware. And, you know, it's just a typical, very nice home and a development. And that night that I was there, I had this incredibly powerful dream. I'm trying to think of the term for that kind of dream. You know the term.
Lucid
dream. Excuse me. Yeah, I couldn't think of it. But,
talking about lucid dream?
Yes, it was. And what I saw was this, I mean, it was like almost a tangible bear in the dream. I mean, it wasn't like overly threatening, but it wasn't overly, you know, it was there and it was a bear. So obviously there's a disconnect between what I would have in terms of strength and what the bear would have. And so, you know, it was kind of disconcerting. And I knew that it wasn't an ordinary dream. It was a lucid dream, but it was also, I think, coming from the vibration of the location where that home was. And, you know, was it a Native American burial ground? I don't know. There's probably many of them in this area. And because we go along the Delaware River and then down into the bay, you know. And but I'm absolutely sure that there was something that spiritually was guiding that bear to turn up in my, you know, my spirit / mind world. So, no, it's just, so those things do come up, and, you know, the more in tune we are with, you know, our past lives and the lives of our ancestry, the more they will come up, because spirits are giving us opportunities to both purge them if there have been negativities to them, as well as the opportunity to learn from them and see them, you know.
Right. Sometimes it might seem scary, but we're, you know, we have the power to, you know, just dissipate it, right? But it, it could have, you're right. It could have been something exactly like you said. So let's see. Where was I? So why are there so many places that seem to be sacred was the question asked to her. And she said, because the ancestors remember, they, you know, think about this, you know, they're all space and time, right? They know how to work with the different earth energy grids to harness energy and build upon what was already there, like the magnetic lines and the vortexes. So that stuff is all very interesting to me. And, you know, I've experienced some of these things myself, just harnessing, you know, we just don't have seven chakras, right? So, you know, just putting your feet on the ground and breathing in, you know, visualizing that, from this almost invisible silver line, you know, going down and then through your earth chakra, right? Then going down, like having very, very thick roots through the bottom of your feet, anchoring into Mother Earth. So, and then when you're breathing in, right, that you're harnessing earth energy. I do that all the time, and you're harnessing that. You can harness water. You can harness pretty much nature, anything you want, really. And the question was asked, why is this, like, so powerful? And she said, because our ancestors access the natural earth magnetics, which are already there, and it's already a cultivated space that happens, but it happens over time. So, like, these devotional places that they pray, they did for each other, they had healings, they harness the, you know, earth energies, they, you know, lift off the grid, they, you know, that becomes a holy space, you know, for hundreds, thousands of years, and it has a charge, like a feel to it. So when we go there, we can access those memories, those spiritual experiences, and at times have true healings. So when Bridget went to what she called the stone circle ceremonies at the coast of Southwest Ireland, like we were talking about, where she learned she had ancestors, she describes lots of elemental earth energies there. She also stated that there was a healing chapel there that was built by her ancestors with an ancient yew tree. And as far as I was told, yew trees hold very spiritual energies, you know, that we can connect with as well. So what was happening with the people in the stone circles that we started to talk about earlier? So she took her group to what's called the convergent point, to where there was like a paramagnetic stones, right, that are moved into a circle. And that's when you can, again, you know, access time and space, connecting with stargates, connecting with divine, you know, portal energy, which allows greater access, greater energy to heal. You can have DNA activations. And she said while she was there, her group were tapping into and grounding any deeper and higher energies in that moment. So that was really, exciting to hear. And then as far as, like, these stone circles, so she went on to say that they were primarily used, and they're still used today, for fertility of the land and to also astral travel, lucid dreaming, like you were just talking about, to heal, all kinds of things. But this was interesting to me, too. So the question was asked, can being in a stone circle backfire? And she said, sometimes. So when people go into these stone circles, which are, so, you know, supposed to be spiritual and harness good energy and healing, you know, the intention is always, you know, good. But, you know, we're in a world that, you know, on the physical plane, that sometimes there are people with ill intentions, right? You know, keeping in us in the light, right? Going in with the intention that we're not going to be bothered by that, right? Because our intentions, the light is, you know, higher than any, you know, ill intention, right? So when people go with bad intentions, these sites hold all their energy. So it's important to be there at the right time and in the right space by asking permission to know if it's the right time and space. So she says that, you know, you'll know right away, right? So you feel good or you don't feel good, right? And the invitation will be, if you ask, is this the right time? Just, it will be a big yes. or no, to move into that space, to be able to connect. And again, just, just always protecting ourselves is just a really good idea, because we live in a fallen world. But, you know, the good always outpowers the dark. So can you feel the vibration of energy when you are in the stone circle? And she said, absolutely. There are ley lines, pyramids, you know, stone circles. There are energy currents going through your body when you're there. And, you know, the question was, are there stone circles all over the planet or just certain places? And she said, stone circles are all over the planet, creating a scalar, timeless space. And she said, have you ever been in a circle and wish you weren't there? And this one was kind of like an aha moment for me, because she said that she has and felt as if she really, like she was called to a place that, you know, she got to yes. But while there, she said that she was being called to let herself go, to teleport someplace. But she put a stop to that because she said she wasn't ready to do that, because she was new to this and she didn't know how to come back from wherever it is that she was being taken, as far as like astral traveling someplace. And so there was a buzzing that she felt all around her where she knew she could disappear and wasn't ready to do that. And at that point I was like, yikes. So you do have to be careful. You have to know what you're doing. You have to really, you know, just kind of like, you know, you want to do your homework, you know, ask the questions, you know, and prepare yourself physically, spiritually, mentally. And then, so how do these exercises help with intuitive feelings? So they create that extra energy that's necessary for healing. So for healing to happen, we need the energy to be able to do it, because we are creating a healing field for whatever areas are distorted or needing restoration. So the energy charge from the circle, from the stone circles or certain places, helps to restore healing. And then when in these circles do you know that it that is instantly for her? And she's like, yes, I know when it, she just gets that intuitive feeling that, yes, this is where she go. She's feels a call to a certain place. And, you know, so like we, she's saying, if we feel a call to a certain place, then it's probably, there's probably a reason that you're being called there, because there's always like a pre-call, like pre-synchronicities that lead you to these certain places that make this experience possible, because you're listening to your intuition and you're paying attention to synchronicities and, you know, you're calling them into your reality, right? So realizing that these places that you're being called to is something waiting for you that is positive, is the intent going there. And then she just named a few places, being like sacred healing spaces to include, but not limited to, like the Great Pyramids of Egypt, Sedona, natural healing temples called Earth Temples, national parks, Mount Shasta in California, Bryce Canyon in Utah. As these are already built sacred spaces, and their natural healing temples and places are just, these are just as significant as the ancient stone circles, as there is a rejuvenating energy at these places. And then, you know, and then she does, she goes along and talks about DNA activation, but in terms of changing our genetics, you know, because there is a, convergence between spirit and cosmic intelligence, right? Intelligence and our soul, where a higher aspect of our soul is. So our DNA is meant to be activated, right, when we're there. So, but we don't have to be there. Again, the availability of the experience is paradigm shifting that allows us to access to that expansive part of our genetics. For example, she states that some of these experiences with DNA activations were like DMT, helping with an increase in serotonin, which, you know, if you're depressed, serotonin is what you want to help you feel better. She, you know, some psychedelic experiences happen, but she said in that sense, it was without like ayahuasca or illegal substances. It was just her and her own energy that was activated. So often experienced by being, again, in the right place at the right time and having pure intentions. And I think pure intentions is really, 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 really important, you know. And so for her, her abilities were activated to a higher level. And she talked about the lack of energies activated as well. In terms of physical change, she was asked, was there any physical change? And she said her genetic expression was activated. Now, you know, it's up to us once it's activated to cultivate and embody that experience into our everyday life, to anchor it into our everyday life, I guess. So she quoted, like, the Dalai Lama said, we are all connected beings and nature takes us there, right? So she went on to talk about the indigenous cultures connecting with, again, the magnetic lines, you know, and she talked about, like, it almost being like a family pet where they could call on and harness this energy whenever they needed to, and really connect with sense when they needed to. And so, you know, again, these are very, very cultivated places. And just to follow your heart, follow your attention, and lead a daily discipline. This is important, she said, to stay at a very high vibration so that you can actually hear your ancestors and harness that energy. And she said many people in Western society have broken some of these, you know, these magnetic lines due to fear-based energies, negative thinking, feelings, and actions. So you never want to stay in a fear-based place. And in our world today, you know, it's not easy, but, you know, I personally try very hard not to stay in a fear-based mindset because I know that's not good. And if you see something that does, you know, trigger you to go, oh, you just want to send it up to God, like, take this from me, you know, because I prefer, like, fear is an illusion. It's just an illusion, you know. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, and that's what we have to keep remembering. So when tapping into ancestral memory or loved ones and spirits, leave behind a spiritual legacy, and their energy and intention stay. So ancestors are intertwined in the places we were and are. They have remembrances to the earth, cosmos, learned how to heal, and remain intact through all time and space. So most of us are aware of our, again, like our, I think I talked about this earlier, our seven main chakras, but, you know, did you know that our planet has chakras? And the energy comes in and the vortex, you know, is work is out too. Grounding is important. And, you know, she recommended going barefoot at least like 20 minutes a day in emerge time in nature to help us physically and on a spiritual level, which helps us to balance on all levels. And, but honestly, I was somewhere last night where someone came up to me and said, how am I supposed to ground? And this is just at a party where this topic wasn't even, didn't even come up. He just came up to me and asked me the question, how am I supposed to ground when it's so cold outside? And, I, you know, if you live, is that fine? And if you live in a place where, like, it's cold out or there's snow on the ground, training, you know, I get it, right? So, you know, I myself am very diligent in grounding. I, even if there's snow on the ground, I will just kind of hop on and hop back out, you know. Every day, even if it's cold out, you know, I will, you know, put my feet in the dirt or on the grass, you know, and I will do some intentions, but I'll also let go of the things that are no longer serving me all the way down to Mother Earth to be transmuted light and love. And so, again, you know, and then I'll walk, you know, around depending on the weather. I mean, if not, then, you know, you can do other things. You can bring, you know, hold or wear something red, right, because that is for grounding. And, you know, you can buy a grounding mat. You know, you can, you know, you could do certain things to help yourself ground, certainly, without being outside. But that, I just thought was very funny. And then I talked about that tonight. So, all right. And then it talks about eating differently. Like the interviewer asked her, do you eat differently than other people? And she's her vessel, her temple, her body to temple cleans to be able to do the work that she needs to do. So she went on to state that the DNA of our food is important to stay at a high vibration. So, like, eating quality local food, if you can't buy organic, or if you can't buy organic, non-GMO foods, and eat, like, more plants and vegetables helps us genetically. And, you know, it does help, you know, our children down the line, and then, you know, because they're getting what we get. But, you know, and she says she's been a vegetarian. She's been, you know, she's been, you know, she's done different things. And being a carnivore, you know, eating meats and such is, you know, something that she doesn't eat a lot of, but she has eaten once in a while. And, you know, but you want to be careful where you get it, right? So if, you know, you're buying local meat, you want to make sure that the farmer is treating his, you know, his livestock in a way that is for that animal's highest good, because you don't want that energy transferred to you, right? And you want to thank the animal and all that, and you know, ask questions like, what are you feeding this animal? Because if there's pesticides, herbicides on the food, even if the animal's being treated good, you know, and it's like free range, you don't know sometimes, you know, if pesticides have been even sprayed on the grass. So, you know, that goes into the animal, comes into us. I think you get the point. Because everything is a vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really remindful when this comes into play.
I think the Native, as I understand it, the Native Americans would always thank, you know, if they, you know, if they went hunting and they killed, obviously, a deer, they would always thank the deer spirit for allowing them to do that. It's just really a beautiful thought when you think about that.
Yeah, I agree. And that's where this really comes from, the indigenous, you know, type of living. But that's how I think every day, you know, even the water that we drink, you know, you want to thank the water because, you know, the studies, right? You know, say the water is beautiful under a certain microscope, it crystallizes something beautiful. And so, you know, I thank the food. I bless for the food to be blessed. And what's not good for my body to just not hurt me, you know, if it's, you know, I normally eat as much organic, but, you know, organic isn't cheap, right? So, you know, sometimes you just have to, but like the water is important to me too, because I did get a reverse osmosis installed, but you can't always drink that if you're on the run, right? And so,
right.
You know, like, that's another whole episode, too, bottled water. You never know where it comes from. You know, it could be mud with chemicals in it. Like those kind of things. And it's overwhelming for some people. It's overwhelming for me at times, you know, because I'm always on the search for the, you know, the best water. And that's why I got the reverse osmosis, right? But if you say thank you to the water, you're beautiful. Like, I do that, too. With a bottle of water that I drink, knowing that it's probably been on a plane and it's, you know, during the summer months, you know, wherever it came from, it could have been sitting there in the heat, in the activating those carcinogenic, you know, chemicals into that plastic bottle before it even got to, you know.
Exactly. I actually read something recently when they did an analysis of certain bottled water. And I don't know who did this. You never know what their interest is, but they said that like 80% of the time they found plastic, you know, molecules in it or something like that. So, you know, you don't know what to do, right?
Yeah. I almost felt like at one time an Eric Brock, like trying to figure out.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I
love
it. I mean, what
you
she
know,
says to me, she asked the water company, you know, executives, well, would you like a glass of water?
I remember that scene. That was a great scene.
I love that scene. It's one of my favorite scenes of all time.
Yeah, you know, but that's another whole episode, too, because there's studies that show, you know, these companies pour chemicals in the water that you can't get out. You know, so that's, but, you know, people have different philosophies, and to each their own. You know, this is just what I do. And we, again, some people don't worry about it, and that's okay. I worry about it. You know, not worry, I take action into trying to put the best water, you know, drink the best water I can. And if I can't, then I do my best. I just bless it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, yeah, we can only do what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but leading into is interesting because not knowing what, what the end of this interview was, it synchronistically led into your spirit paintings because as Bridget spoke about, this is where I stopped anyway, she spoke about her own energetic spirit paintings that were channeled, which she described as, you know, being these beautiful colors, you know, from other worlds. And so both you and her are getting these inspirations from spirit, which is a beautiful gift. So from there, you know, let's dive into you. Are you ready?
Okay. Sure.
Again, James Carr, you know, he is a, he's a conceptual visual artist. And so I guess this is a topic point, not really a question for discussion, but the great continuum, like steps that lead to heavenly purifications of the soul through your art. Can you explain that?
Yeah. Well, it's not just through my art. It's just a general, this is just a concept that I think has, you know, the element of basic element of divine truth to it, which is, you know, we're on a plane where there are steps that will lead to higher and higher levels of consciousness and higher levels of purification of the spirit and the soul. And I like to say in gratitude to Led Zeppelin, it's kind of the stairway to heaven. And basically, I see mind is more or less the guiding. They're at the wheel of physical elements, physical energy. So you go from mind, and the mind goes to physical energy, and the physical energy begins to come through. And as you get to higher levels of awareness, the next step would be you begin to perceive psychic energy. And that's when you start to see so many things that you can no longer think that they're coincidence. That's kind of like the first, I kind of think that's the elemental first step that we, well, any person, then begins to realize, well, you know, this isn't all just formulaic. This isn't all just, you know, matter doing what it's doing. Synchronicities are your first guide, I think, to higher levels of spiritual recognition. Okay. So then from psychic psychic energy and synchronicities, the next step would be you begin to really, really come to this conclusion that there is a spiritual force. There is something that is far more meaningful and really more real than just what I call the formulaic world. And again, this, please don't take this as any denigration of science. I happen to love science and I love physics, but seeing the world, and again, I keep using this term, formulaically, will not allow you to see the world, well, really, as an artist might see it, which is with all the beauty that is out there, whether it's the mountains or the oceans or the, you take a ride in the countryside and you see that, or even our cities. Our cities are beautiful manifestations, but I do think that they're probably coming from more the mind, but also the spirit, which allows us to build beautiful skyscrapers that want to reach the sky, you know, reach out to the sky. And so from that, you become aware of the earthly spirit, which is Gaia. Okay, and now we know that Gaia is the whole earth, the whole spirit of the earth. And then from that, your next step would be cosmic spirit, and the cosmic spirit would be the entire universe. But this is the universe that has galaxies. This isn't the universe that is the unseen, right? This is the spirit that, you know, the infinity of the material world. And then the very last step, if you're fortunate enough, well, not fortunate enough, but if you put enough meditation and you enough work into your spiritual elevation, if you can do that, your last step would be, you know, the recognition of heavenly spirit. And this would be nirvana as well in the other phase. Mm-hmm. But so each step in my, you know, belief system moves the soul upward until reaching the purity of absolute perfection of the eternal soul.
That's
my belief. And yep. I do think art has a lot to do with that. Being able to see things. Oh, yeah. I mean, art, I'm not saying it's the key, but it is a key. And I give a lot of merit to all the different religious faiths, whatever they are, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, all of them reach out to a higher level of spirituality.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that, you know, what you're saying. It's just you are always intertwined in that spiritual realm to be able to really do what you do, like you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Thank you.
So the next you talk about here, our spirits are guided. Our spirits are guided by angelic beings. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I do believe that. And this ties in back to your whole show tonight. I love that concept of the ancestral spiritual connections and lineage, DNA lineage. And it's both something that you may feel need to purge some aspect if it was too much based on not the cleanest aspect of a pride. Nothing, I think pride is a motivator too. I think it's a great thing in many cases, but if it's too much based on harmful aspects, then it needs purging. But I absolutely believe that, you know, by recognizing that karma and having a connection with it, it eventually leads to the epitome of spiritual evolution, which is Christ consciousness. That's where, you know, everything comes down to the trying to reach the highest level of goodness, purity of goodness in your spirit.
Yeah, that was what you said, yeah. I mean, karma is, you know, we either bring, you know, experiences in for life where they're coming from a different lifetime, right? So that's an interesting topic for sure. And then, you know, awakening spiritually, again, elevating, transcending to that Christ consciousness is what we, you know, always aspire to. So in with that, as an artist, do you feel you are guided by outwardly spirits and earthly energies?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think you learn a lot with etymology. And that comes from ancestry as well. But one of the, you know, it's always been such a wonderful thing to me that the term inspiration, which is, you know, any art uses that term of inspiration. I mean, what that really means is the divine, the breath of divine guidance, because it means inspire, and that means in breathing in that is the inspiration, which is, in my experience, I think is coming from, you know, another spiritual or our ancestry, or even, you know, our national, energy. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So you have your breathing, the breath of divine guidance. I love that.
Yeah. Really what the word inspirations, that's the basic etymology of inspiration, which is inspire. It means breathing in. Inspire is the word for breath, breathing in Latin. So,
very smart. I love that. All right, next question. Do you find painting portraits leads to heightened channeling?
Yeah, it definitely does. And it doesn't always, and it doesn't mean just people, you know, whether you're painting a pet, you know, an animal, or in my case, I usually do paint people. And
flowers?
Yes. Yes, and it also means, you know, certainly it means in a painting flowers, floral works, and these all have their vibration. Even a flower, you know, I haven't painted a lot of still life, but I certainly have painted a number of them. And, you know, not all, it used to be that art was generally defined as creating something of beauty. In the 20th century, that sort of deviated to some extent and made it more like there was the cubism. Again, I'm not denigrating these. These are all, you know, very interesting schools of art. But in the past, art was always, almost always, it was going to be either, well, of course, there was religious art when they would paint the you know, the different divine or angels or whatever. But even so, they would always be with the inclination of beauty being the primary aspect of it. Well, that's the aesthetics, the very idea of aesthetics is the study of beauty, and that's art. So I still am inclined to that And I still want that because I think that we're showing our gratitude to nature and the divine when we do something and we paint it beautifully to show that this is something that we have been gifted with. Think if there wasn't that. Think if we couldn't see beauty. I mean, it's such an important aspect and every culture has that. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Some maybe more, some less. Some got on the wrong track, you know, of being too much involved in the negative aspects of conquest and all that sort of thing. But our history has karma too, and I still think that we're going higher, even though it may seem like we're going downwards. I still think we're going upwards in many ways, and will more in the future.
Yeah.
At least I hope so, because I have a grandchildren now, and I certainly want that.
Well, those children are coming. They have already gone higher schools of learning before they come here, and they're here to help us. They're here to help humanity. They're here to, you know, they bypass karma. They bypass a lot of things because we're coming down already, you know, ascended. And so those are our, you know, incoming healers, you know. These kids are changing. They're changing the world, right? So it's really interesting, you know, with this new wave of kids coming in, babies, they're coming in already knowing, right? They're not being taught this. It's an all-knowing. So,
yeah.
And your granddaughter is right in that space. So there you go.
I have to ask a question.
So this is just my own curiosity. So do you, when you channel spirit through your paintings, are you channeling that spirit before, or is spirit coming through once you just, you know, start painting? Do you just start painting to paint and see, and then the spirit comes through when you're actually creating?
Well, yeah, because I'll tell you what, I know many, many artists do this, but I don't, and I never have. And as a matter of fact, it's, you know, there have been times when I wish I had, you know, been a little more, had been more involved in the original construction. But I never do a drawing of a painting I'm going to do, and I never do, I don't even do the basic, you know, outline of the painting. I just paint, you know, I just paint. And 90% of the time, even though I don't carefully maintain that those necessary proportionalities in order to have its most attractive quality, it ends up being that way. And I don't know, I mean, I have to assume that, yes, there is another guide. There's another guidance. You know, I just absolutely believe that. And I'm not taking away, you know, native talent or instruction. There, you know, you need some level of that. You definitely need that. I mean, I'm so thankful, as I've said before, to the Academy of Fine Arts. I can't say enough for it. But actually, it taught me, you know, when I first started, I would kind of do this, like, really exacting kind of outline or line it up. And they said, do that, just start painting. And I did. You know, so.
Oh, gosh, can I tell you, so in college, I took, like, six, like, classes all at once just to finish. And what I thought was an easy elective was art. What I found out
was that it was not easy. It was not, you know, all of the different, you know, elements that I had to use, all the, like, I remember doing, like, this charcoal bag, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? And then I remembered, like, for the final project, it was just very, very, very time-consuming to get it right. So my brother-in-law come over to help me with it. But it was more time-consuming. I know, I shouldn't say that on the air.
Yeah,
but, like,
you would be a great artist. There's no question, because the you have emotional, the highest level of emotional intelligence, and that's where it comes from. But
depressing.
Yeah, I was just going to say real quickly, and I know you wanted to move on to your last elements, but there are formulas that you do have to follow. Like when I do, which are always almost always a figurative painting, when they first taught me this, I was like, what? You know, there is an absolute formula for creating what we call flesh tones. And it doesn't matter who the person is or what background there is, anything else, it is a basic formula. And it's titanium white, either yellow ochre or burnt ochre, cadmium light, medium, or dark, cadmium red, light, medium, or dark, or cadmium yellow, light, medium, or dark. And I can take that and take those colors, and within a minute or 2 minutes, I'll have the mix that is 90% accurate. And, you know, it just was like, God, how can that be? You know, why aren't I using, you know, burnt umber? Why aren't I using more, yellow colors and, you know, but
well,
you use that formula.
But I might, when I have the time for it and just go for it and see where it takes. But
I know you're running out of time, but I just want to say, whenever you do it, if you put any thought at all, and you probably don't have time for it, but if you ever did, you would be an outstanding artist. And I don't say that to everybody, but you have that emotional ability, to create it. That's my compliment.
Okay. Well, I will take it. I will take that compliment. Thank you. Okay. So here real quick, we're going to do, I pulled the cards for the collective. And what I pulled was angelic frequency from the Gateway of Light Activation deck. And this is, angels are here. This is your safe. And so it states that the angelic frequency is the energy of the angels and the angelic kingdom, which is aligned to service, devotion, authenticity, and love. And when this frequency comes to us, it's because the gateway of our heart has aligned with it, and we're essentially becoming an angel upon the earth. This is a beautiful card. I just got a chill. Angels are the heartbeats of Source, and so when we're in touch with the angelic realm, we're also connected to the heart of God. This card features a being of light, and the streams of light surrounding it are the angelic frequencies pouring down to light up our life. This image also unlocks our soul memories, and this is what we're talking about, right, of our guardian angel. Before we were in this life, we danced across the midnight sky, and as the universe follows the law of attraction, our angels are attracted to us, because our likeness was also in them. So we became connected, and since then our angels have been with us through every lifetime and every experience. So we're talking about here our guardian angel. So, you know, in a nutshell, it says just really to
you know, to rejoice because we're being rewarded with abundance and blessings. And, you know, our guardian angel, your guardian angel is with you now, helping you remember your infinite power and potential and to reach the stars and trust that all the efforts you've been making, both internal and external, will bring blessings and opportunities. And the path that you are on is aligned to your highest good. And the support you need is there for you. And you are cherished by the angels. That was great. That was a nice reading.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. So we have, so would you like to start?
Yeah, I only have one. So just real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'll make this really fast. When I was younger, probably in my teens, well, it wouldn't be my teens because I was in a restaurant and I was at a bar. So I was about.
Okay, get to the point.
Okay. So as you know, in this area, there are many historic restaurants. And there, many of them are known as being haunted. I mean, they're considered haunted. So one time when I was very young, I went into one. And it was called the General Wayne Inn. I think it's over in Ardmore on the main line.
Okay.
But it had been noted as being one of the most haunted restaurants in America. So I'm sitting
and
there, and I'm with a friend, and I'm thinking, wow, this place really has a strange vibe. Oh, man. And I kind of look around, and there was a TV above us, right? I look around, and then I look back at the TV, and all of a sudden, it's just gone crazy. Like, it's got all these things going on around it, and I look over, and suddenly it's got, like, these like, words are coming up that are not supposed to be there. And then I look back, and then I come back over, and it's flipped itself. The image is flipped over. And so I said to the bartender, what's going on? He said, well, you just met our specter.
That's fine. Oh, how about that? That's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great one. So so I actually have two if I can get to them, but the one just happened recently. I was actually praying for someone in the car, and all of a sudden I literally saw the outline of her, and I felt that hug. Like, I saw her. I'm in the car now, and I saw her hug me. Like, thank you. Thank you. And then the other one was a green orb that almost had, like, a consciousness. Like, I would walk towards it, and it would back up, and I would get it back, and it would come towards me, because I'm like, I've never seen a green orb in my life, and then I would go to, because I'm like, it stops in your tracks, you know, but long story short, you know, it was just an experience, and it was a good one, it was just different, but with that said, we're running out of time, and I just want to thank all our, you know, our listeners for you know, listening in, and we appreciate you, and we just want to say good night and God bless, and hopefully, you know, next Monday, 7 o'clock. So, good night, everyone. And
thank you,
James, so much for being on the show.
Thank
You're
you.
Always a wonderful welcome guest all the time. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.